to another episode of Pretty Social Podcast.
We're so happy to have you guys back here again with us. And before we get into this episode, we're going to have you guys make sure that you stop, subscribe, like, comment, share, yes, so that you don't miss another episode.
Yes. So today, we're about to get into high school and middle school. Mm-hmm. Like, what our experience was, yeah, and how is it impacting us now?
Because it does.
It does.
Whether if you want to accept it or not, it does. And it sometimes it's great, like a great impact, and sometimes it's a negative impact. And sometimes it's a mixture. Like, you know, life is life. And you go through so many different seasons and so many different experiences. Gosh. So from middle school to high school was, I changed a lot.
From middle school to high school?
From just middle school to high school.
Wow.
In middle school, I was very, very shy. Very, very, very quiet. I was kind of like that. I hate to use this term, but for people to have kind of an understanding if you didn't know me then, was like that quiet, awkward kid in the back of the class. Mm. That's how I felt. Because I didn't have a lot of friends. At all. I never actually had a lot of friends. And I was picked on a lot when I was in elementary school. So I had already shut down a lot. So when I got to middle school, I kind of just assumed, like, stay quiet, keep your head down, you won't be bullied, you won't be picked on. And I was very, very innocent. Not that I wasn't, like, innocent in high school, but, like, I wasn't cussing. I wasn't, like, none of that stuff. Like, I was just a kid. Like, I was playing Barbies and stuff. But once I got, well, really, like, 8th into 9th grade, like, that transitional period, I kind of started to, I guess, you know, I hit puberty and started to look more womanly, and I wasn't picked on anymore. It was now guys trying to talk to me. And it was such a weird thing to navigate, because I'm like, y'all was making fun of me. Like, forget y'all. I'm not about to be talking to y'all. Y'all over here making fun of me and stuff. But I started to kind of, I don't know, maybe in a sense, have a little bit better of a self-esteem, because I started to feel like, oh, people see me. Yeah. Like, I'm not this like girl that sits in the back of the classroom that no one really notices because whatever. Like, people actually kind of know who I am. And you know, then as we go through the episode, I went through so many things in high school, so many stupid things in high school that just changed me, that made me angry, that made me have an attitude, that made me just cuss a lot, just stupid things. Stupid things. So I changed a lot in that transition from middle school to high school. And then obviously, you know, so much of that in different ways impacted my 20s. And then when I realized what that was, I was like, oh no, I can change the narrative of that. And then, you know, change how it impacts me in my
30s. Oh, that's good. I feel similar to that. I was definitely picked on a lot in elementary school too. But I think that, like, I just want to mention how, like, it's so interesting to me how I think sometimes we treat it like, oh, that was high school. Oh, that was middle school. Like, heartbreaks and everything. Yes. Like, they do not literally help mold and shape us into who we are. Like, high school, middle school, even elementary school, but more so high school and middle school. Like, you know, being a dark-skinned girl, I can't even say. I was going to say I didn't get picked on for that, but I did.
Yeah.
I got picked on for that for as long as I can remember, but obviously not in my home. But the second that I left my home, I was told, hey, something's wrong with you. Your skin is too dark. And I'm like, huh? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like you find those things out when you go. You start to see, like, oh, they kind of like, the light-skinned girls, they think they're prettier. Or, you know, just one quick experience that I had in high school. There was this guy, and I'm going to get into this story with this guy. there was this guy who impacted my high school heavily.
Yeah.
But I remember he liked me. He expressed interest in me a lot, but it was always in secret. He was really popular. I think he still is, honestly. It was always super private. He would always, like, be mean to me in public and be super nice to me in private.
Yeah.
He ended up buying a promise ring for a girl that he really liked, this really pretty light-skinned girl. And I just remember him taking her to homecoming or something, and his mom and her family all coming together and then taking pictures, and he brought her a promise ring. And I'm watching this unfold, like, he is practically my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like, and I only go to his basement, you know what I mean? And that type of stuff kind of told me who I was and where I fit in.
Okay.
You know, that was like one of the big moments for me. I'm like, oh, she's the kind of girl who, like, you meet the parents and there's pictures and there's promise rings. I'm the girl who goes to the basement while mom and dad are at work.
Right.
And there was this situation with him where he, there was an attempt for him to take my virginity. It didn't happen. Mm-hmm. It just didn't happen. I left. I don't know if it's because we was just two kids and it just whatever. We didn't know what we was doing. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen. But there was rumors that he spread this rumor that it happened. Mm-hmm. Somehow there was this video. He had a video of me and him having sex, which never happened.
Right.
But I don't know who the girl was in the video. I don't even know if people really seen the video. I never seen it with my own eyes. But everybody started telling me they seen this video of me. They were telling me what I was saying and doing in the video. I'm a virgin.
Yeah.
I'm literally a virgin. But this whole thing gave me the biggest slut reputation, mm-hmm. whore reputation. I was picked on. I was bullied like crazy. Girls older than me, my own close friends. I remember my brother came to my room and was like, oh, I heard you letting dudes smash. And it just, I literally just started screaming at him. I think I threw something at him because I just couldn't believe that, like, my own brother.
Yeah.
You know, and when I would confront him about it, he would say, like, you know, people just be making stuff up. They lying on me. Da, da, da. But I'm like, it's so many people.
Yeah, like, and who in the world would make that up and then everyone else believe if it didn't come from you?
Exactly. Like, and so that situation left me, like, broken. Like, I remember literally being in the bathroom on the floor crying at school. And, you know, it just, I think the way that those interactions happened, they kind of, like I said, kind of taught me who I was and where I fit in the world. And I made agreements with statements like, you're less than, you know, you're not worthy like some of these other girls are. And it's because of what you look like, you know, and that's just what it is. And I just kind of accepted that. I honestly just thinking about it, I feel like my entire life I've been fighting to not hate myself.
Right.
I've been fighting to not have low self-esteem. I've been fighting since I was a little girl, since preschool. I'm being bullied. I'm being told I'm too dark. And, you know, I don't have love and affection at home. And so I'm experiencing this in school.
Yeah.
When I got to middle school, though, that is when I started to build real friendships for people who love me for who I was.
Yeah.
Like, some of my closest friends, my closest relationships happened then. Mm-hmm. I wasn't isolated as much. I remember my friend Sam, shout out to you, Sam. Mm-hmm. She found my number in a phone book that she had of, like, all her classmates, and she called my house and she was like, can I speak to Nicolette Adams? This is seventh grade.
Uh-huh.
And then we were just inseparable since. Mm-hmm. My friend Tierra, who I met in science class, like, we both were, like, kind of dorky, and we just connected. So that's when I first started to feel what it was like to have people like me for who I was. But I also still had some really toxic behaviors of my own because I wanted to be accepted so badly that, you know, I remember being kind of mean to girls. Yeah. And I talked before about wanting to have a certain aesthetic. I wanted to be around pretty girls because I think maybe it made me think I was gonna somehow, I don't know, it'll rub off on me. I don't know what I thought. But if girls who weren't so pretty would try to be my friend, I would kind of like be a little mean to them, which, oh, I hate the thought of that now, you know. But those are just some of, that was a lot, you know. I hope it made sense. Like, but yeah, that's a lot of what impacted
me. Lot. And like you said, like, sometimes people think like, oh, you're a kid, whatever, you'll get over it. Kids are resilient. And it is true that kids are resilient, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't show up, and it doesn't affect you. Like you mentioned with your low self-esteem, I had and still from time to time struggle with low self-esteem, and it really started in the school around my peers, you know, not only just being bullied, being younger, but that so bullying in elementary school, I think, made me even more quieter than what I naturally was. And then, you know, feeling like I don't have a voice for whatever reason. Like, you don't talk, you don't have a voice, no one really cares, which was so crazy because it was so different from home. At home, my parents always wanted to talk to me. At home, my parents always, like, poured into me. At home, you know, my family always wanted to say, like, I love you, you're beautiful, this, this, and that, like, spend time with me. Like, it was such a different thing, but to me, crazy when I think about it now, but to me, like, my friends were so much more important in how they viewed me than my parents, because my parents, you just have to love me, like, I'm your kid, like, duh.
That's normal, like, though.
Peers don't have to love me, and if they tell me you're ugly and stupid and all these other things, then that must be the truth, because
you feel like they're gonna tell the truth versus your parents, who are, they love me, they're my mom and dad, they don't want me to feel sad, so they're gonna say whatever they need to say to make me feel good.
Exactly. So I had this, you know, weird, like, divide in my mind of, like, what I really am, my identity, and, you know, similar, not all the way to that same situation of you, but, like, I remember, you know, guys trying to make rumors about them being with me and stuff like that, and it's crazy, and I just want people to understand, like, what you do and what you say really can truly impact a person to the point of horrible things happening, like, not even just depression and things like that, which are terrible to go through, but there are people who commit suicide, you know, there are people who they just can't bear to live life because of the rumors and the things that people are doing and saying to them, and thank God I never got to that point, but I remember, you know, guys making up things about me, and I was a virgin. I'm like, how, like I said, I didn't have my first kiss until I was 14. Like, I am not experienced whatsoever. And that was the hard part also of, like, when I was transitioning into high school and I kind of started to form my body and things like that. And it was, like, one sense it was, like, cool because, like, you're getting attention. But then with that attention also came all those negative things of rumors and being objectified and things like that. So now you're, like, well, people are actually finding me attractive now, and I'm not this ugly whatever that they're trying to tell me that I was when I was younger. But now they're also making these stories up about me. And now I have, you know, from some people, a reputation of something that I'm absolutely not. And it always drove me crazy. Yeah. But, you know, thankfully, even though it showed up in different ways, like my attitude, and I was ready to fight someone at the drop of a dime, like, let a girl say something to me, I was ready to fight at the drop of a dime. I mean, obviously those things were negative, and I wish I didn't have to go through all that, but I'm also thankful that I didn't allow that to become my identity, because that could have easily became my identity, and I could have easily subscribed to that, which could have caused so many other issues for me later on in life. But I'm thinking about, like, high school and people who've shaped how I felt or looked at myself. I would definitely say that there was a few people here and there who, you know, just certain things that they did and said, how they made me feel in those moments really made me feel terrible. Like, I had this one boy. Okay, we didn't go to elementary school together, but we definitely went to middle and high school together. And he used to always call me a chink. And I literally, because my eyes are smaller, and when I laugh and stuff, like, they squint, so he'd always call me a chink. But in a mean way. Like, not in, like, oh, you're cute. Like, right. It's like, there's something wrong with you. And I remember him trying to talk to me sometime in high school, probably 9th or 10th grade. And I remember, like, being so confused. I'm like, dude, you just talked about me all this time. It made me feel horrible. And I still occasionally will say I hate my eyes. Like, I don't go anywhere without mascara. Like, I wear mascara because I'm not about to be a chink. And that happened when I was, like, in sixth grade. Mm. And I am now a grown adult. But there are still times where I'm like, my eyes are so small. I'm not about to be out here looking like this. Mm. But it's such a deeply rooted issue. Even though I know, like, this boy was just so stupid. He said things. But being that young and that impressionable, you start to internalize those things and say, that is me.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Oh, it is so hard to let that go. And when I think about, like, when I sit and actually say, like, okay, Gabby, just go without mascara. Like, it's going to be okay. You're fine. But then I feel uncomfortable the entire time. I do. Which is crazy because I actually like my eye color. But, like, I don't have a problem with them, but because someone made it a problem, now it's a problem in my mind.
Man, oh my God, that is so insane, because you just telling that story, just, by the way, your lashes are naturally long, so I think that...
I don't know. I don't know, because in my mind, I'm like, no, I'm a chink.
You don't look like a chink at all. And well, I never even noticed the chinky eyes until you said that. Yeah. Which they still don't look chinky to me.
Yeah.
They don't look chinky at all. Do y'all think? Tell her that they don't look chinky. God.
Don't tell. Don't say. Do you guys think they're all like, yeah, no. yeah, she does.
That's what I said. Tell her they don't look chinky.
Don't lie to me.
But that is so funny because it makes me think of a story about me and how I did not wear glasses for so long because of something someone said to me. Like, I done let my eyes get so bad. I wear glasses now. I'm wearing contacts now. But because I literally can't see without them.
Yeah.
But I didn't probably have to let it get this bad. I think when I first started wearing glasses, I was 14. And they told me I needed them for reading.
Yeah.
And now I can't even see 2 feet ahead of me without my glasses. And there was a time in 8th grade, I want to say, where this boy, again, really popular, told me, I came to school with my glasses on. I was trying. I was like, you have to wear your glasses. Just try. I was wearing my glasses, and he literally looked at me, and he did this. He was like, Nicolette. And I said, huh? And he said, and yes. And I took my glasses off, and he said, I never wear glasses again. I legitimately never wore those glasses again. And I remember being like 25 at church, at our old church, and a women's group, we all talking, and we was just talking about insecurities, and I told them like that happened. Yeah. And one of the girls was like, girl, don't let no stupid boy tell you not to wear, and they just like clicked. Like, yeah. That is crazy. It took for me to like literally almost be in tears at a grocery store because I couldn't see the signs to be like, okay, wear your glasses.
Like, you need glasses.
But isn't that insane that a situation like that took me all the way into adulthood?
But it's what we, I think a lot of people don't realize is that they don't do enough, like they don't take enough time to do like self-evaluations to see like their strengths, their weaknesses, the good parts about them, the parts that need to be changed. And then to also look at those weak spots, look at those areas that you're struggling in to say like, why is that? Like, I don't think enough people do that. Like, why do I do that? Why do I act like this? Because there's always a reason why. There's always a reason why. You don't just do it.
Yeah.
Like, whether if you've been exposed to it through family, whether if it's something that you just see on TV, social media, like, whatever it is, there is a reason why you think the way you do, or you perceive things in the way you do, or you act a certain way. There's a reason. I'm not saying that it's justifiable or that it's a good enough reason for things that are negative, but we don't just like are born and now we're just this way and it's just how it is. It's like, no, there's so many people in our lives and situations we've gone through that literally shape and mold us. And especially when those things happen at a young age, it is so hard to let go because a part of it becomes your personality. Exactly. Like, a part of it becomes your identity, or at least what you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to, or it can be really hard to dismantle that. Because I've had multiple identity shifts, you know, in my life. You know, I feel like when I was, like, in elementary school, even up through middle school, I was the truer version of who I was. Like, and then when high school hit and just the experiences I went through, the people I was surrounded by, trying to fit in, just so many different factors, I literally became a person that I was not. Like, I became a person that I thought I needed to be or that I thought I should be for whatever reason, because, you know, of external factors, because I wanted to be accepted. And it was such a struggle because I didn't want to do those things. I didn't want to be that. I didn't want to sneak out. I didn't want, but to be accepted, you had to, or at least in my mind, that was the thing of like, if I want friends, if I want to be any sense of, which I was never popular, but if I wanted to be accepted in any type of sense from my peers, like, this is what I have to do. And, getting into my 20s out of that, I realized that was not me. And I was just an unhappy person. Like, I remember I am a crier still, so I can't say I remember crying all the time, but it was always for, like, drama things in my life. It was always some type, sort of someone in my life, some sort of peer bringing in drama. I remember getting in, like, cussing, screaming arguments with my ex, like, just things that was not me, things that didn't feel good, things that I just, going out and drinking at 16, like, why? Just that I look back and, like, that wasn't you.
The peers.
It was. It's that peer pressure. It's that, you know, I want to be accepted by everyone. And I had to dismantle that identity. I had to say, like, no, you have to figure out who you are, because this is not who you are. And it took a long time. It took a lot of my 20s, a good portion of my 20s, to really realize who I am. And it's a learning, it's a learning process throughout the rest of your life, because you'll constantly change and grow and go through things. But it, you take that stuff through life, and you know, especially even traumas, people experience some traumatic things, and stuff is really hard. Really hard.
It is to get through. It's so hard. And it's like, I think one big thing too is like the forgiveness. You're like forgiving yourself for the things that happened. You know, I think I beat myself up for so long about the way things went when I was a child. Like, I felt like I ruined my life. I was a pretty smart kid. I was in the college scholars program. It was not a lot of kids selected to be in that program. Really amazing program. Really smart kids in that program. Honestly, to this day, some of the smartest people that I know, I still see some of them on social media doing amazing things. And sometimes I'll be looking at them like, how the heck did I get in this group?
You belong there. You did.
Thank you.
You belong there.
And I felt really proud of that, but I lost it. You know, I lost that. And speaking of peers. There was a person in my life. We're going to call her Shay Shay. We're going to give her a fake name. I don't know where this girl came from. She came from the devil. But she came to my school. She came to my school. She lived close by to me. I found out that I knew her mom, like, she was from my neighborhood. And she was the worst influence on me. I don't know what it was, but I thought she was so freaking cool. Like, I liked
it's
her so much.
It's always the worst influencers that are the cool people in
like, I don't want to hang out with my dorky friends that's over here in the cafeteria doing homework, you know? My friends, which are were actually the cool friends, you know, who are on track for graduation and everything like that. But this girl, she was so bad and she was so angry, and rightfully so. She had some horrific things happening to her at home. Horrific. And I didn't know all that then, and I didn't even understand it. I knew something was off with her parents, but I didn't fully understand it. But she was such a bad influence on me. And I remember one day she was like, I bet you, we was mad in class. I was like, I'll walk out right now. She's like, you will not. I bet you won't walk out. You too much of a goody two shoes. You scared. You scared. I'm like, no, I will. I'm inside. I'm terrified. Like, I knew I wanted to walk out of class, but I felt like I had to prove myself to her. And I walked out of class. And that was the beginning of me being truant for like 3 months, you know, and ended up having my mom in truancy court and everything like that. But she was having sex. She was smoking. She was drinking. And I'm trying to prove that I'm just as cool. I'm not like the nerdy girls who you would never hang out with girls like them. It got to the point where my friends called my parents. Like, they called my grandparents and told them, like, we don't know what's going on with Nikki.
That's good friends.
Shout out to them.
That is amazing.
But boy, did I hate them when they did that. I couldn't believe they did that to me. But it was for the good. For sure. But, you know, I can't beat myself up too much because I was a child. But I have, in my adult life, I spent many, many, many years in my 20s thinking back on, like, you ruined your life. You ruined your life. You ruined your life. And it's like, I have to come to a place where I can forgive myself for being a kid and go forward from there.
Yeah, because you, understandably, I can understand how your mind can go there, because I've done that as well. But you didn't ruin your life. Like, look at you. You're not ruined.
Right.
Like, you're not ruined. Like, there are things that we all look back and we're like, oh, why did I do everything? I don't care if you were a goody two-shoes. I don't care. Because there are some people who just, they were a really good, like, abiding kid. Their whole life. And, but even then, like, there's something you've done in your life that you're like, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I hang out with that person? And it's okay to look back and say those things, because I think that, at least for me, it's a reminder, and it's that lesson learned. Mm-hmm. Okay, I went through that. Wish I didn't have to go through that. Wish I didn't hang out with that person. Wish I didn't have, you know, said those things, whatever the case is. But I learned from it. And I learned to never, ever, ever, ever do that. And I can also take that and talk to my son about it, or talk to other people about it and tell them. And now, obviously, they have to make their own choices and whatnot. But, you know, at least I can be open and honest. And it is hard to forgive yourself, because there's a lot of things that I did that I'm like, that, ugh. You know, that's all you can say is just, ugh. But then I think, like, although they definitely impacted my life in certain ways, and some of them very negatively, I'm still here. I'm still alive. And do you have struggles? Yeah, I have struggles. Mm-hmm. Do you still deal with some things from your past that just show up randomly on a Tuesday? You're, yeah, I have that stuff happen. Mm-hmm. But I'm healthy. I'm happy. I have a good life. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not ruined. And not only that, but I used to be someone who was, like, always lived in the past. Like, I always lived in the past, whether if it was good or bad. Like, whether if it was me just reliving, reminiscing good times, or me just feeling like I'm nothing because of what had happened. And when I realized I spent way too much time in the past, I'm like, this is not healthy. Like, I have to let the past be the past. Like, I have to let that just be. And I have to just be like, okay, from here on out, what's it going to be? Like, here on out, I write the story now. Exactly. And I'm the one. Yes. And it always makes me think of this, one of my absolute favorite stories. And I think probably because I resonate with it so much, is in the Bible, and it talks about Lot, and it talks about his family and how they're leaving the city before God destroys it. And he tells them, don't look back, like, keep going. And his wife looks back, and she turns into a pillar of salt. And every time I think about that story, I think about how I felt when I would look at my past, and I felt so stagnant. Like, I felt like I was stuck. And that makes me think of, like, Lot's wife, and how she literally became a pillar of salt. Like, she, immovable. You can't do anything. You're stuck in this position. And that's how I felt for so long. Like, this is who you are. This is, you're not going to amount to nothing else because of what you've made, the choices you've made in your past. And when I realized that's what was holding me back, I'm like, absolutely not. Not anymore. Like, that doesn't mean that I won't still have struggles from time to time where I'm like, dang, like, if I never would have messed with so-and-so, like, I wouldn't be dealing with this and that. But it's also like, I don't have a time machine. What am I going to do about it?
What am I going to do?
What am I going to do about this?
And for me, I think, like, it's like making agreements with new statements. You know what I mean? Like, I made agreements with statements like, oh, you know, people prefer lighter skin and you are less than because you don't have that. You know, you don't belong in this program. How did you get here? You know, you make agreements with these statements because of experiences that you have. You just have to disagree with those statements. Yep, for sure. And I'm not saying it like it just was a breeze, because it wasn't. No, it took me a long time. But, you know, it's just understanding things. I think one of the biggest things for me, and I even kind of cringe talking about this, but just like having a reputation of being out there, being, you know, promiscuous, which started when I was a virgin. When I was probably like 18, because this started when I was 14. And so all my high school, like, this is just who I was and what I was. And I ended up agreeing with that and said, well, hey, I mean,
you're going to say it, then.
So when I turned like 18 or 19, something told me, like, you're not that. You don't even want to be that.
Right.
You don't even want to be that. So change that. And I did. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not going to sleep around. I'm not going to let a guy use me for my body. Yeah. I'm going to have respect for myself, and they're going to have respect for myself.
For sure.
And I made the decision that that is not who I am.
Yeah.
And I changed from there. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like when you come into agreement, well, this is just who I am, so this is just who I'm going to be. You know, it's just rewriting your own story.
Yeah.
You have control of the pen. You know, we don't have to let our experience control the narrative. We don't have to let haters control the narrative. We don't have to let miserable people, or just people who are struggling in general in their own lives. When I brought up the girl Shay Shay, I think that she was suffering.
Yeah.
so bad that she couldn't be responsible to think like, oh, well, I don't want to be a bad influence on her.
No.
She was suffering in her own way. Yeah. It would have taken for me to say, no, that I don't want to do that.
Right.
That's not me. But I didn't have that willpower and that strength. But as I became an adult, I did.
Yeah.
And so all I want to be able to do is pass that on to my kids. Mm-hmm. Because unfortunately, hindsight is 20/20. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a lot of people have to touch the stove to see that it's hot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that when you really work on the relationship with your kids to where they trust you.
For sure.
You know, I think a lot of parents, especially in our generation growing up, you know, it was like, you know, you just gonna respect what I said.
Yeah,
you,
right.
You do it because I said do it, you know. And I think it wasn't a lot of talking and understanding for them to trust you. So it was really easy for us to just feel like, you're old, you don't know what you're talking about. You haven't, this ain't then, this is different now. You know, one example, my mom telling me like not to go to a basketball game because it's not safe, it's nighttime, you don't have a ride, you're not about to walk to school, it's dark out, it was winter, and I was going to be getting home at like 11, and I thought she was a psychopath. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Kids walk to basketball games every single day. You're so weird. Mm-hmm. And I ran away and I went, and somebody pulled a gun to my head that night.
Yep.
So it's like, they be knowing what they saying, but I wish that I had more trust in my mom's word. But she never would talk to me about the reasons why, like a sleepover, when I was young, that she, that I really wanted to stay at. And these girls were wild. I mean, they were wild. Like, they had no parental supervision. They was allowed to smoke. They was allowed to drink. I was probably like 13. They was allowed to come and go as they please. One of them, she actually ended up passing away. God rest her soul, for like drugs. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to stay the night. So bad. It was to the point where everybody at that party was like, please let her stay. Like, I wanted to stay tonight. And my mom was like, no.
Yeah.
You are coming home.
Yeah.
And I didn't know why. She took me home. She tried to spoil me. She got me, like, my favorite food and all this stuff like that. But she wouldn't tell me why I couldn't go to the party. And so I just thought that that day I remember thinking, like, you just hate me. Like, you don't want me to have fun. You don't want me to enjoy life. And so
it's so hard.
It's so hard because it's like you want the best for them, but you have to. But I think communication is what helps your kid to trust you when you say, no, nah, baby, I don't think you should go over there.
I agree, and I'm all for that. And so one thing I realized too is like we all, because I think we're all like that to a certain degree when we talk about our parents. It's like, dang, it was that they're not fair, they're strict. And then when when I got older, I was like, oh, thank God. Like, and now I'm like them. Now I'm that quote unquote strict person to Nate. But he just doesn't realize right now why I am. Like, he's like, well, my friends could do this, and that, and he doesn't fully understand. I know that one day he'll appreciate when I say, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go here, you can't be out till midnight. Like, he'll understand it, and it's hard to understand when you're a kid, but it's even harder to understand when you're not being told things. Like, that makes it worse, because now you're really confused. Now you really just think it's unfair. Now, I talk to Nate about everything, but I do have one situation that I refuse to tell him about. And I think I've talked to you about it, and I won't go too far into it because I don't know if he'll watch this episode and then he'll know why.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
But so a situation happened to where he can't go somewhere anymore and he doesn't understand. And I think because of what transpired, it's a little too inappropriate to talk to him about at this point. I feel like once he's a little bit older, I can be more open and honest about why I'm saying no to this. But there's been multiple times since then that he's like, I just don't get it. Like, why don't you want me to? And there's sometimes that I just want to break down and be like, this is what happened. But also I'm like, I don't want him to look at someone else in a different light when it has nothing to do with them and it has something to do with someone else. It's a whole story. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I think in certain situations, I could understand what parents like, oh, I don't want to go too deep into that. That might be a little too much for you.
Exactly.
But in general, especially when it comes to like safety of your kids, like if Nate says he wants to go, he has friends who can stay out till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and they can go out and get food. And I think from what I know, they're probably not doing anything wrong. They're probably just hanging out at Applebee's and eating, and I get it. But also, I'm like, that's not safe. Mm-hmm. That's not safe for a 16-year-old in my eyes to be out till 1 in the morning, even if you are just sitting at
Applebee's. I trust you and your friends, but there's a whole world around you that I don't trust.
Exactly, and that's my point to him all the time. It's like, it's not that I don't trust you, and it's not even that I don't trust his friends, because he has really, really, really good friends. But there's so many other factors
for sure
that you have to take into consideration. And I, as a kid, I don't expect you to take that in consideration, because kids, especially teenage boys, are impulsive as heck. Like, mm-hmm. they're not thinking about all that stuff.
Yeah, they
That's
are,
what you
yeah.
need a parent.
They think they're invincible.
Yes. Yeah, especially when you get to that teenage age where you're close enough to being an adult. Ooh, and you're feeling yourself.
You can tell me I was
like,
grown.
He's going to be 17 this year, which is wild. But, like, you're pretty close to being at least technically an adult. Mm-hmm. Like, and I can see you wanting to feel yourself and think you can do things. And obviously, there will be some more, I guess, being a little bit more laxed in certain areas as he gets older. But still, you're a kid, mm-hmm. and you need someone to lead you. And I think mm-hmm. that's so important as parents to do so. But sometimes you're hard-headed. Like you said, sometimes you gotta touch the stove and be burnt to understand yeah. what it is. Because I had that. Like, I had parents who talked to us. I had parents who were very involved. I just was not, I just didn't care. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I just didn't mm-hmm. care. Because for me, and I think the so if I compare, like, my situation to my son's situation is, I was so shy. I was so quiet. I always had a very, very, very tiny friend group. He is very outgoing. He has a big group of friends who are actually really good kids. Mm-hmm. And he has good influences. I didn't. So the very small group of friends I had, or the people who I hung out mm-hmm. with, were not good. So it's just so different.
Yeah.
How I responded to my parents and trusting and believing what they said versus how he responds to me. Although he may not always see every, or he doesn't always think everything is fair. Mm-hmm. Like, he accepts what I say.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. and I appreciate that, but I also feel like it's because his life looks different than what my life looked like.
Yeah.
With our peers.
Yeah. And we have to pay attention to who our kids hang out with.
Yes. You know, so important.
It's so important because, you know, you're pouring into your kids, mm-hmm. But you don't realize that, you know, these are the influences. Mm-hmm. They are heavy influences. And, you know, I had situations with Maddie where I had to deal with her hanging out with mean girls, you know, mm-hmm. when she was younger. And the girls, one day they're nice to her, one day they're really mean to her. And she would just be so sad when they would be mean to her. She would be so happy when they would be nice to her. And I'm like, why don't you try and, like, talk to some of the other girls in your yeah. class? And, like, I've talked to her about, like,
you don't want
who are nice some days and mean other days, nice, nasty girls. You don't want to hang out with girls like that. I'm like, you're very kind. You're very giving. You're very happy and excited to be around your friends. You like to share. So I think you should try to make friends with people like that. You yeah. know what I mean? Like, that is, we don't realize how much of a huge impact mm-hmm. the peers and the friends that you choose. Like, show me who your friends are, and I'll show you who you are.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest things. Yeah. I think for most people, is I oftentimes wonder, which obviously, again, doesn't matter because I'm not going back in the time machine. But I often wonder, like, if I didn't hang out with certain people, how much my life, how different it would be. Like, mm-hmm. we obviously don't know, because you could have met someone else who was even worse and mm-hmm. went through something worse. But, like, I always think, like, if I had that good, solid friendship with, like, good people, like, mm-hmm. people who weren't, like, doing stuff that they shouldn't have been doing, mm-hmm. like, how drastically different my life could be. Yeah. And again, it doesn't matter now, because I've gotten through it, I'm over it, it's mm-hmm. fine. But, like you said, that's what we now take those lessons, and now we teach our kids.
Exactly.
We teach them, like, I don't think you should be with that person. I don't yeah. think you should be going to that place.
Yeah.
And they may not like you for that time being. Oh, well, they'll get over it. And then they'll realize that, wow, she or he really protected
right.
me from that.
Because I realized that about my mom, too.
Me
like,
too.
She actually knew
for
what she was talking
sure.
about. But y'all, please tell us, yes. if you have anything that happened in high school, like Gabby's story with the mascara, or mine with my glasses, like, just one thing that just carried yeah. you throughout your life of insecurity, anything that you took with you since, you know, middle school or high school, please share it with us. Make sure y'all like, comment, subscribe. Hit yeah. us up in our DMs. Emails, we're always open.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening.
All right, y'all. Bye. Bye.